Eliezer, Perek Tazayin. Before we were speaking about Adam Rishon and different things that happened with Adam Rishon. So the end Perek is we said that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Gemel Chesed to Adam Rishon. He and the Malachim came and made a whole matzav by the Chasana of Adam and Chava, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mevorech Adam and Chava like a chazan by a chuppah. So we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu was gemilas chasodim by the chasana of Adam and Chava. So once we're talking about the gemilas chasodim by Adam and Chava, so now we speak more about this pack is going to be about gemilas chasodim by chasanas in general and different things that are tangentially related to chasanas. And then Perek Yud Zayin is going to be about Gemilas Chasodim by an Avel, someone who's in mourning, and things like that. So it begins like this. Al Shleisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oymed. The world stands on three things. Al Torah, Al Avoida, Al Gemilas Chasodim. On Torah, on Avoida, and on Gemilas Chasodim. Those are the three things that the world stands on. That's a Mishnah, Misachas Ovis, in Perek Aleph. The world stands on these three things. Torah, Avoida, which usually Avoida means Avoida in the base of Migdash, the worship of Hashem in the temple, Val Gemilas Chasodim, and doing kindness. Last week, Rabbi Nissen Bates mentioned that these three things are connected Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Gemilas Chasodim is Avram, he was Isaac and Gemilas Chasodim. Avoida is Yitzchak, who is Isaac in the special Avoida between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Torah is Yaakov Avinu. The Mukubalim, other people say that these three things are connected Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferes. Gemilas Chasodim is connected Chesed, because Chesed, we've mentioned before, is Chesed is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Shefa to Klal Yisrael, and we're focusing on the giver. So Gemilas Chasodim is when a person is trying to imitate the ways of Hashem, and he's also giving chesed to other people. That's chesed. Avoida is, we said, gevura. Gevura is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses on the receiver and says, oh, does this guy receive it? Does this guy deserve to get this shefa or not deserve to get this shefa? So that's avoida is when. So basically, when we're talking about Gevura, it's the actions of a person affects what Hashem does for him. Right? So Avoida is the actions that a person does for Hashem. Pashtus, we're talking about Karbanos. When a person brings Karbanos, he's being Mashpia towards Hashem, and then Hashem bases what he's going to give to the person based on what the person gave to him. That we call Gevura or Din or whatever. And then Torah is connected to Tiferes, which Tiferes is a combination of Chesed and Gevurah. Tiferes Torah, you can say it in two ways. You can say that Torah, when a person is engaged, let's say you have two people engaged in Torah, so you don't say one's the receiver and one is receiving and one is giving. Because they're both receiving and they're both giving. Mishnah Avos says a person sometimes learns more from his Talmidim than he learns from himself. He's giving to the Talmidim. So when a Rebbe gives to the Talmud also gives to the Rebbe. So they're both the receiver and the giver. So Torah is both of that. Tiferes, which is both Chesed and Gevurah, focusing on receiving and focusing on giving. You could say another way, that Torah includes two components. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. So Torah Shebichsav is what Hashem gave to us, and Torah Shebal Peh is what we give to Hashem. So Torah is Tiferes because it includes both of these things. The Chesed that Hashem gave to us, and the avoid of that, what Hashem gave, what we give to Hashem, so that's both included in Torah. Right. So the Medrash asks like this: on the Torah.
Could you say there's a completion here? Understand that? Hashem gave us the Torah, and then giving back, like by learning the Torah, and then explanations that the Torah Shabbat, we learn in this, and we connect them back to Him.
Yeah, you could say it like that also. We got the Torah from him, and then when we learned it, we're sort of kilu giving it back.
Yeah,
I'm not giving it back.
We're
connecting to it. Yeah.
Just in discussing about what's more important, to daven or to learn Torah. Yeah. And I don't remember who said it. Do you know what it is?
The what?
The discussion about What's more important, to learn Torah or to daven?
The different situations call for different things.
Yeah, exactly. This is like in when there's no more important thing. Yeah, same. The design is that is more. The learning is more important because you're connected to Hashem. Like you Hashem is talking to you. And in Fila, you're talking to Hashem. You're asking for him. And this the difference. There's also here like the what's it called?
Which way is it going?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. So the Medrash says, "Al Torah minayin." How do we know that the world stands on Torah? The Chsiv, it says an apostle in Yirmiyah, "Ko yamar Hashem im loy brisi yamal v'layla." So says Hashem, "Im loy brisi yamal v'layla." The end of the pasuk is "Chukas Shemayim v'Eretz le'samti." If it wasn't for my bris yamal v'layla, my bris, the covenant of Hashem yamal v'layla, day and night, then "Chukas Shemayim v'Eretz le'samti." Hashem wouldn't have created the heavens and the earth. So you see. And another pasuk says, "Lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha v'gisa v'yomam v'layla." That Hashem said to Yeshua that the sefer Torah shouldn't leave your mouth; you should toil in it day and night. So the first pasuk we see that whatever this brisi yomam v'layla is, Hashem said that if it wasn't for this brisi yomam v'layla, the world wouldn't be created. And the second pasuk says Hashem told Yeshua, "You better keep learning Torah v'gisa v'yomam v'layla. You have to learn it yomam v'layla." So the way the Mepharshim explained it is that what was this brisi yamam v'layla? Im loy brisi yamam v'layla achuk Hashem v'aretz le'samti. Hashem created the world that wasn't for brisi yamam v'layla. What's brisi? So you could understand brisi in a few different ways. But the Medrash is trying to tell you that brisi yamam v'layla is referring to Torah. And it brings the second pasuk of v'gisa b'yamam v'layla, which is said about Torah, to teach you that when we use expression, these keywords yamam v'layla, it's talking about Torah. So brisi yamam v'layla means Torah. That's why it's bringing two psukim. Yeah, kilo like a gzeir shava. That's what all the mufarshim say. The gadol, the liomi izmir, the radal, they all say this idea. The Medrash is bringing two psukim to tell you which one, what does it mean brisi yamam v'layla. The MS is that in the Gemara Mesechas Nedarim, the radal brings the Gemara Nedarim that brings darshan's the pasuk a little bit differently. The Gemara says, "Gedayla mila daflamet bezmanav. Gedayla mila shel malay mila leniskaimu shemayim v'aretz." Bris mila is such a chashuv a thing that if it wasn't for bris mila, the shemayim v'aretz wouldn't exist. Shenam it says in the pasuk, "Imlay brisi yerem v'laila chukay shemayim v'aretz leisamti." If it wasn't for the fact that Hashem made this brisi yerem v'laila, then the world wouldn't be created. And the Gemara says, "Upligo de Rabbi Eliezer." What we just said is arguing on Rabbi Eliezer. Why? The Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Gedela Tyra. Tyra is so great. She'll molly Tyra than Eskam Shemayim V'aretz. If it wasn't for Tyra, the world wouldn't exist." Shneamar brings the same pasuk. "Imlay brisi yamam v'layla chukas Shemayim V'aretz leisamti." So the Gemara really has a machlekes. What does it mean, brisi yamam v'layla? The first pshat of the Gemara is that it's talking about bris mila. The second pshat of the Gemara is that it's talking about Tyra. Rabbi Eliezer is the second pshat in the Gemara that he says it's talking about Torah. So Rabbi Eliezer is l'shitasai here in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that he's that understanding that the pasuk of brisi yamam v'layla is talking about Torah as well. That's what the Radal points out. Other professionals also say this, but that's why we need two psukim, because you would have thought if we just brought the pasuk of brisi yamam v'layla, you would think we're talking about bris mila, like the Gemara in the Dar. So we're saying no. Brisi yamam v'layla means the same thing as v'gisa b'yayimam v'layla, which means we're just talking about learning Torah. On the other pshat, the Radal says, why do we bring two psukim? Because one is coming to tell you that the olam is oymed al Torah shebichsav, and the other one is coming to tell you that the Torah is oymed al Torah shebal peh. Okay. It's another pshat from the Radal. Going weiter. Al ha'avoida minayin. So it said one of the second thing that the world stands on is avoida. What is avoida? So we said that avoida means bringing korbanos. Now, Maisa, if you look in the Pirush Rav Avadia Bar Tanur Masechas Avos, he says that avoida is avoida so korbanos, and he says like we see that when the world was destroyed by the Mabel, right after the Mabel, Noach brought korbanos. And then, because Noach brought korbanos, so Hashem gave a shvua, he's not going to bring another marble to the world. So you see that the world exists because of korbanos. If it wasn't for the korbanos, Hashem wouldn't have made this shvua to not destroy the world again. And That's why we're still here today. That's what the Bartanura seems to be saying. The Avoida means Karbonos. But the Medrash is not going to go like that. The MS is that nowadays that we don't have Karbonos. So Rabbeinu Yoina in Mesachas Ovis, in his Pirish over there, says that nowadays that we don't have Karbonos, so we have Tefillah instead of Karbonos. But for us, Avoida doesn't mean Karbonos. For us, Avoida means Tefillah. Interestingly, I found that Moshe of Zakenim once in Parshas Tzav, where he says that nowadays that we don't have Avoida Karbonos, so our Avoida is Bris Milah, which is stam interesting.
Who said that?
The Moshe of Zakenim in Parshas Tzav. I didn't look it up, but that's what I seem to remember he says.
Interesting.
But Parshas is like Rabbeinu Yonah. There's other places that move more like Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm thinking it was also going to be like Rabbeinu Yonah. The Avoida nowadays means Tefillah. Now that we don't have Karbonos. So the Medrash says, Avoida minayin. How do we know that the world stands on Avoida? Tichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Usfilas Yesharim Reinai. And the prayer of Yesharim, of straight people, is the Ritzoinai. That is the will of Hashem. Now, we just said that we're bringing a Pasuk of Tfilas Yesharim, the prayer of straight people. We said Avoida means Avoida the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So why bring a Pasuk of Tfilah? So the manager says, Umahi Avoida, what is Avoida? Not necessarily just Avoida in the Beit HaMikdash, Zut Tfilah. Avoida is Tfilah. Like I just said from Rabbeinu Yoina. Shekein Matzina B'Daniel. Like we find in Sefer Daniel, the Amar Le Daryavish, the Daryavish said to Daniel, Ele Koch, the ant Polach Le Betidira. The God to whom you always worship. Di Polach Le Betidira. Polach is the lashon of worshipping, Tidira is the lashon of Tadir. V'chiyesh avoida be'bavel, is there avoida in Bavel? If avoida means the avoida of the Beis HaMikdash, is there such thing in Bavel? So how could Daryavish be talking about avoida in the Beis HaMikdash when he's talking to Daniel? We're talking about after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when they're in Galus Bavel. Ela zu tefila. What's the polach? What's this avoida that Daniel used to do? It must be that it was tefila. Fine, that's tefila. But al gemilus chasodim, and on gemilus chasodim, we said the world stands on the third thing is gemilus chasodim. What's gemilus chasodim? Lachasonim. So gemilus chasodim means doing kindness. For some reason, okay, I know why. The manish is going to go with gemilus chasodim, but specifically gemilus chasodim for a chasid and kala, for a chasana. So it says like this: gemilus chasodim lachasonim minayin anu lemedin. Where do we know Gemilus Chasodim by a Chasan and Kala? The Rav Chaim Falachi in Par Echad points out that what's the chiddush of Dafka Gemilus Chasodim by a Chasan and Kala? What's the Gemilus Chasodim go visit sick people or you know be Menachem Avel? Why Dafka is the Menish picking on going to a Chasan, helping being Mesameach a Chasan and Kala? Why is that more of a Gemilus Chasodim than anything else? So he says that it's coming to teach you a chiddush. You would have thought that what's the gemilas chasana by chasana kala? You go to a chasana and you drink and you eat and you be merry and you get all happy and whatever, and then you make other people happy. That's the chesed you do for chasana kala. Yeah, is that such a chesed? You're doing it for the chasana kala. You're doing it for yourself. You want it's geschmack to go to a chasana and be happy or whatever. You're not necessarily doing it for him. So you would think that that's not called gemilas chasana. You would think that, or at least that's a lower level of gemilas chasana. So we're saying, the Medrash, so he says that the Medrash is saying that when we say that the world stands on Gemilas Chasadim, it's even on that type of Gemilas Chasadim. You're doing it also for yourself.
Well, even if we went to the neighbor, I'm going to know it's going to take like 2 hours to get back. You just don't want to do it.
No, that's something that for sure is Gemilas Chasadim, because you're doing it just for him. But saying if you're doing it also for yourself, even that's called Gemilas Chasadim. Yeah. Sure. So where do we see... You just have to say that. Where do we see that there's an Indian of Gemilas Chasadim for a Chasan and Kala? Mekodesh Baruch Hu. We learn it out from Hashem. Shuhu v'atzvei gomal chesed l'Avram l'Adam u'l'Ezrei. Because he himself came and gave chesed to Adam Rishon and to his Ezra, to his helper, to Chava. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu l'malach yashayitz. Mekodesh Baruch Hu said to the malach yashayitz, Boyu v'nigmal chesed l'Adam u'l'Ezrei. Come and let's give chesed, do chesed for Adam Rishon and to his wife. V'yayir HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'malachi ha'sharis ligmal chesed la'adam u'l'azrei. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, him and the Malachi Asharis came down to do chesed to Adam Rishon and to his helper, to his wife. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Chaviva lefanei gemilos chasodim mizvachem v'oilois sha'asidin Yisrael lehakiv lefanei al gabi ha-mizbeach. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that doing gemilos chasodim is more dear to me than all the korbanos zvachem and oilois, a korban shlom and korban oila that Klal Yisrael are destined to bring in front of me on the mizbeach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that chesed is more chashuv than korbanos. Now it says in the pasuk, "Ki chesed chafatzli v'loy zavach." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I desired chesed, and not zavach, not karbonos. I want you to do chesed to people. I don't want you to be busy with bringing karbonos." What's the Indian of Hashem wants people to do chesed, not karbonos? So Biliyomi Izmir says that the vart is that why did Kadosh Baruch Hu create the world? So Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to do good to creation, to the la'itev al-abriyos. Right. So when you do good to people, so you're taking on the role of Hashem, and you become like a shutef in the creation of the world. Hashem created the world in order to do good, and you're also doing good. So you're in some way you're in the same role as Hashem. So that Hashem would rather you do that than to be busy giving korbanos to Hashem. Hashem's not. I didn't create the world for me. I created the world to do good to people. So you're doing good to people. So that's better than doing good to kibiyachol doing good to Hashem by bringing korbanos.
Right. I think it's benefiting Hashem. So Kibachol is expecting us like also to have this meter of do whatever you have to do, but do chesed, because chesed you don't have to do it. You don't need it. It doesn't help you. It doesn't bring you money, it doesn't bring you more time, it doesn't bring you beautiful things in this world. It's just do it because you know that it's
to do good to other people.
Yeah, the righteous thing to do.
Right. So that's the Indian of Gemilos Chasadim for Chasan and Kala, and basically the rest of the pack is also going to be discussing different examples and then a bunch of different tangents about the Indian of Gemilos Chasadim for Chasan and Kala. And the next pack is going to be about Gemilos Chasadim for a person in Avelos. Just a point over here about Gemilos Chasadim. So we said, how do we know that the world stands on Gemilos Chasadim? So the Medrash didn't really give an answer to that question. The Medrash gave an answer, how do we know Torah, how do we know Avodah? And then when it says Gemilos Chasadim, it was giving this whole example of Hashem being Goyim Chasad to Adam Rishon and Chava by their Chasana. But it doesn't say, how do we know the world stands on Gemilos Chasadim? It doesn't talk about that. I don't know why, but for some reason it doesn't. In Ovis Rabbi Nosson, on this Mishnah over here of Al Shlesha Dvorim Ha'ilam Oimein, Al Torah Avodah, Al Gemilos Chasadim, so in Ovis Rabbi Nosson, it brings a Pasuk, how do you know the world stands on Gemilos Chasadim? Because it says in the Pasuk, Ki omarti oilam chesed yibane. Pasuk in Tilim, Hashem, the way Chazal does the pasuk, Hashem said, oilam chesed yibane. The world is built on chesed. So you see, the world is built on chesed. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in his Pirush on Maseches Avos, Ruach Chaim, so he says an interesting idea. He says that there's a difference. We say this: the world stands on three things: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilos Chasadim. So there's a difference between before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. Says, before Matan Torah, the world really stood on just Gemilos Chasadim and Avodah. He brings one Medrash that says that the world just stood on Gemilos Chasadim. He says that, but also stood on Avodah, because Avodah whatever you want. Avodah existed before the Torah was given, because Korbanos existed before. He says that Korbanos wasn't kavua. There was no schedule. It wasn't set. Korbanos was when you felt like bringing a korban, you brought a korban. You didn't have to bring this every day and this every day. So avodah was there, but it wasn't set. The ikra thing before Matan Torah was Gemilos Chasadim. That was the ikra thing that the world was standing on. Just Gemilos Chasadim. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner says after Matan Torah, so the Torah came and sort of trumps the other two things. We had Gemilos Chasadim and avodah. Comes along the Torah and tells you how to do Gemilos Chasadim and Avodah, and it changes it around. And the ikar thing now that the world is standing on is the Torah. So what do you mean? For example, before the Torah is given, so you can do Avodah however you want. What type of animal you want to bring? That could be even before Matan Torah. You could only bring a kosher animal. But where do I have to bring it? I could bring it wherever I want. Make a korban over here, make it over there, make it in America, make it in whatever. to the Torah? No. If you bring a korban over here, it's mamash called shchut echutz. It's not a korban. You have to go to a certain place. Hashem tells you exactly how to do it. Beforehand, you can do it however you want. Afterwards, not necessarily. The same thing with Gemilas Chasadim. Chaim Volozhiner says that before Matan Torah, so if you have a poor man, he doesn't have any money, so it's a big chesed to give him a loan, even if you're giving him a loan with interest. I'm making a little bit of money, you get money because you don't have any money and you need money, so I give you some money. I'll make a little bit on the side because you'll have to pay me back a little bit more, but I'm doing it, it's a huge chesed for you, right? Comes along, so before Matan Torah, that could have been, that was a kiyum of Gemilas Chasadim. Afterwards, no, the Torah says no. You have to do Gemilas Chasadim in this specific way. When you give a guy money, you can't charge him money. You can't charge him for it. You have to give it to him without interest. $100 for $100. You don't say if you pay me late or whatever. No, $100 for $100. That's Gemilas Chasadim. So the Torah redefined what's avoda and what's Gemilas Chasadim. Another interesting thing, Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Ruach Chaim doesn't speak this out, but in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, in the end of Perek Chaf Aleph, he speaks this out very bekitzer, but this is the idea that he's talking about. This pasuk we said, Ki Omarati, I don't have a chumash with me. Okay, whatever. Ki Omarati Olam, no, it's okay. Ki Omarati Olam Chesed Yivane. The world was built on Chesed. The Gemara in Mesachas and Hedrin, Daf Nun Chesem and Beis, says, what's that talking about? The world was built on Chesed. It's talking about Cain marrying his sister. That's what the Gemara says. It's talking about Cain marrying his sister. Why? Well, marrying your sister is called chesed. It says in the pasuk, "Ish ki kach es achayisay chesed hu." It's called a chesed. Why is it a chesed? Of course, it's a chesed. The poor girl, first of all, maybe she's not going to marry. She won't find a shidduch. So you're doing her a favor. You're going to marry her. The Gemara says in Yevamos that there's a mitzvah dafka to marry your niece. Why? Because your niece is, let's say, is a closer relative, so you'll be close. You have similar ideas with her, and you'll cherish her more. And there's an inyan dafka that you should marry somebody that you're going to cherish more, that you're going to love her more. So your sister Kosha Kane, she's your sister, right? So the Gemara says that it's a chesed to marry your sister. So why is it usher? The Torah came along and said it. So the Nefesh HaChaim says that before Matan Torah, you can make cheshbonis. This is what I'm supposed to do, but this is more of a chesed, so I'll go with the chesed. Even though a ben noach is not allowed to marry his sister, but if you decide it's more of a chesed, or this is more needed for the kiyum of the world, so sometimes you could take those cheshbonis, and that'll trump even an iser for ben noach. But once the Torah comes along, the Torah says, no, you're not allowed to marry your sister, even though it's a chesed. The Torah says, that's not the type of chesed I want you to do. The Torah comes along and redefines, what does it mean chesed, what does it mean avoda? That's an important nukud over here. Okay. I said before, that we mentioned before this whole thing about Hashem coming and doing Gemilas Chasadim by the chasen of Adam and Chava. We talked about it in Perek Yud Beis, that Hashem came like a chazen, dressed up in a talus like a chazen, and made a brachas for them. Okay. Now the manager is going to go off on a tangent and speak about other cases of kilu chesed by chasanas and chasanas in general. Rabbi Yaisi says, "Meinayim anu lemeidin shivas imei ha-mishnah." From where do we know there's an inin of shivas imei ha-mishnah, shavu brachas? Where do we know that for 7 days you're supposed to have a party after you get married? Yaakov Avinu, we learn it from Yaakov Avinu. Why? Kishinasa as Leah asa shivas imei ha-mishnah. When Yaakov Avinu first married Leah, they made asa, sounds like it means that he made, but the Radal points out that he didn't make the parties. Laban made the parties, but Yaakov participated. So they made 7 days of partying after he got married to Leah. Shinamar, because it says in the pasuk that after Yaakov realized that it was Leah and not Rachel, so he said to Laban, "I want to marry Rachel, not Leah." So Laban says, first of all, Malei Shavua Zois. Let's finish off this week. Finish this week all the parties, whatever, after your first chasana, and then you can go marry Rachel afterwards. So you see that there's an inyan that when a person gets married, you're supposed to make a parties for 7 days. Shiva Simei Mishta. Now, Ramban and Chumash says that, it sounds like from over here, like this is the source. It's almost like a halacha from learned out of Yaakov, and he says that's not necessarily true. It says, There's a Gemara in the Yerushalmi in the Ksubis, beginning of Ksubis. The Yerushalmi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin the Shivas Yimei Avelus and the Shivas Yimei Mishta. Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin Sheva, the 7 days of celebration after a wedding, the 7 days of mourning for a dead relative. So it says that it sounds like it's a Takana Moshe Rabbeinu. Didn't come from Yaakov Avinu. So it says that even before, this is one of the ideas that the Ramban talks about in a few places, that even before the Torah was given, people were noyeg different elements of the Torah beforehand. He says, the Ramban also says this about Yibum, but he says that even beforehand, Yaakov Avinu or the Avos, whatever, they were noyeg this inyan of Shivas Yimei Mishta even before the Torah was given, and then afterwards Moshe Rabbeinu was misaken it. And then the Radal points out that the Rambam seems to say that it was a Takanas Chachamim, and then the Radal brings the Tana de Be'elio, that sounds the Medrash Tana de Be'elio, that says that, if I'm not mistaken, what it says is that the Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim is to taunt the Jews and say, like, why you guys bother getting married and having Shivas Yimei Mishta and partying for 7 days? You're slaves. That's what they used to taunt the Jews to say. So you see that, so the Radal says, you see that even already in Mitzrayim they had Shivas Yimei Mishta, they had the Indian of Shavuot Brachos. Okay. So,
yeah. What? Tradition,
yeah, Moscow. The Maisa we'll speak about in the next parak, in the parak of Zion, a little bit more about this Indian, but it's not so pasha that you can learn things from before Matan Torah. The Vilyomi Israel points this out. Over here, if we learn the Indian of Shivas Yimei Mishta from Yaakov Avinu, it's not so pasha that you can do that because Yaakov Avinu is before Matan Torah. So how do you know that? How could we learn out from before Matan Torah to after? We said before that everything changed. The Torah redefined how different things go. So maybe that was before Matan Torah. There's Indian Shivas Yimei Mishta. How do you know after Matan Torah? So Vilyomi Israel says that this Rabbi Yosi, who learns it out from Yaakov Avinu, he holds you could learn from before Matan Torah. In the next part, we're going to see that he also learns that the 7 days of Avelis, he learns it from the days of Avelis by Yaakov Avinu, that they had 7 days of Avelis, even though that's before Matan Torah as well. So Rabbi Yosi holds that you can learn things out from before Matan Torah. At the end of this parak, which we won't get to this week, one of the Tanaim is going to say that we learn out Shivas Yimei Mishta not from Yaakov Avinu, but from Shimshon. That Shimshon made a party for 7 days after he got married. Because that's after Matan Torah, so that you can learn. From Yaakov Avinu you can't learn it, but from Shimshon you could learn it. That's what Rabbi Leo Mezra says. But this sheet over here, Rabbi Yosi, he holds you could learn from before Matan Torah. But all the people from the place of Aram Naharaim, where Yaakov Avinu was, they all came, they gathered together to do chesed with Yaakov Avinu. So why are we bringing this story? Because we see that they're doing chesed by a chasana. They came to do chesed by the chasana, they came to dance by his chasana or whatever. Everyone in the city that Lavan lived in. Remember, it says in the pasuk, "Vayaasayv Lavan is called Anshe Hamokim Vayaas Mishta." Lavan gathered all the people of the place, and they made a party. Omer lehem Kadosh Baruch Hu said to them, or Hashem said, "Atem gamaltem chesed im Yaakov Avdi. You did chesed with my servant Yaakov Avinu. Ani egmer ve'etin scharchem bo'elam hazeh. I am going to pay you back and give you schar in olam hazeh." And we know that we spoke about this a little bit last week, that by Rishayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their schar in Olam Hazeh, so that when they go to Olam Haba, they'll get complete punishment. And by Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their einish in Olam Hazeh, so when they go to Olam Haba, they'll get their complete reward. We spoke about it last week, and it happens to be that I came across.
You never find 100 shekel bills.
You never find 100 shekel bills before.
I'm talking about you.
Me, yeah. The Gemara in Kiddushin also speaks about this at the end of the first parak. I think it's Memlim Beis and Memalofim Beis. It speaks about this idea twice over there. That's what Hashem does. So Hashem said, these people from Aram Naharaim, where Lavan lived, the Aramians, they came to dance at Yaakov Avinu's Chasana. So Hashem said, I'm going to give them their schar in Olam Hazeh. So that you know, some of them were Rishayim, so that they'll get punished or whatever in Olam Haba. Shelo yehi schar l'Rishayim lo Olam Haba. Ni egmel ve'etin schachem lo Olam Hazeh. Shelo yehi schar l'Rishayim lo Olam Haba. I'm going to give their schar in Olam Hazeh, so that there won't be schar for Rishayim in Olam Haba. So what does Hashem do? Shneim ratzon the pasuk. Ki voy nasan Hashem tishua la'aram la'rom v'kiva scharei. So this pasuk is talking about like this. In many centuries later, when we're talking about in Malachim Beis, in the time of Achav, Achav was a melech in Yisrael in the time of Elisha Anavi, the time of Eliyahu Anavi. So there was a war between Malchus Yisrael under Achav and the Aram Damascus. Aram Damascus, or Syria, basically. Or that area of Syria that was the city-state of Damascus, maybe. So the king over there, his name was Ben-Hadad. So the general of the Aramean army, his name was Naaman. There's a story brought down over there in Malachim Bey, is that Naaman had Tsaras, and he didn't know how to heal his Tsaras, and he ended up getting a message to Elisha, and Elisha told him to go in the river, and he didn't want to do it, whatever, and he ended up doing it. He went in the river, he got healed, and Naaman believed in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He started believing in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Naaman. Right, so the story goes that by this war, by mistake, Naaman shot out an arrow, and it ended up that arrow is the one that hit Achav, the king of Yisrael, and killed him. And because of that, the Aram won the war. That's what happened. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving the schar that the people from Aram came to dance by the Chasad of Yaakov Avinu, that many years later, it ended up that Naaman's arrow, that he shot mamish like an accident, unintentionally, lefitumai, I believe is the lashon of the pasuk, lefitumai, he shot it and it hit Ach, of all the people that it should hit, and it shouldn't hit anyone because it was like, mom, it wasn't aiming at anyone. It ended up hitting the king of Yisrael, and from that Achav died. So that's the schar that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Aram for dancing at Yaakov Avinu's chasana. That they were able to kill Achav and they won the war. What? Right there. Rabbi Shmaya Omer, Rabbi Shmaya says, Kosov Avram, now we're going to speak about, fine, we spoke about the Yaakov Avinu's chasana, we're going a little bit out of historical order over here. Now we're going to go back and speak about the chasana of Yitzchak Avinu, that Avram sent Eliezer to go find the shidduch for Yitzchak, so we're going to speak barichos about that story. Rabbi Shmaya says, Kosov Avram, Kol Asher Loi, Yitzchak Yerushon. Avram Avinu wrote, In a document, official document, that he's giving everything that he owns to Yitzchak as a Yerusha, as an inheritance. V'natal haksav unusonai b'yad Eliezer avdai. And he took this document and he gave it to Eliezer, his servant. Sheyelech lihishabeach beveis oviv uvemishpachtai. So that Eliezer will be able to use this document to show how chashuv the family of Yitzchak is, so that somebody will want to marry Yitzchak. The pasuk says, in Parshas Chayesara, when it talks about this story, it says V'chol tuv adinav biyodei, that when Eliezer left from Avram to go to find the shidduch for Yitzchak, so V'chol tuv adinav biyodei, all the goods of his master was in his hand. So Rashi brings down all the goods of Avram Avinu was with Eliezer. Eliezer took everything out of the house with him to go find the shidduch for Yitzchak. It doesn't make any sense. Rather, what does it mean? It means that he took a document with him that says that Avram Avinu bequeaths all of his possessions to Yitzchak, and now Yitzchak is a really rich guy, so the girls will want to marry him. That's what happened over there. So we're going to speak about Eliezer's journey and his mission over there to find the shidduch for Yitzchak. But before we speak about that, I just want to talk about a chashuv discussion over here that the Mefarshim speak about. The Mizrahi, one of the main Mefarshim and Rashi and Chumash, asks the question. There's a Gemara. It's also, I think, in Ksubis. It says, "Loi saver inish achsanta afil mibra bish lebra tov." A person can't switch the Yerusha, the inheritance, even from a bad son to a good son. The Torah tells us the rules of inheritance, that all the sons split it equally, except the oldest one usually gets double, and it's split between the sons. You can't switch it, you can't change it around and give all your stuff to one son. And it's, the Gemara says, even from a bad son to a good son, you can't take it away, you can't switch around the Yerusha like that. So the Mizrahi asks on Rashi, how could Avraham Avinu write a shtar that he's giving all his possessions to Yitzchak as a Yerusha? You're not allowed to do that. You can't give away, you can't take away the Yerusha from one son and give it to the other son. I feel from a bad son to a good son. Even though Yishmael was a bad son, you can't take it and give everything to Yitzchak. So how can Avraham Avinu do that? That's the Mizrahi's Kash on Rashi. A lot of Rishonim speak about this, and they give different Tirtzim. The first one is the Das Dekenim. The Das Dekenim says like this, that Yishmael had the status of a ger. Yishmael didn't have the status of a son of Avram Avinu, because he was born before Avram had a bris. So it was Kilu before Avram was, so to speak, Jewish. So Avram Avinu was a ger, he converted by making his bris, and Yishmael independently converted by making his bris. So Yishmael had a din of a ger. And the halacha is that even though a goy yarshins his father, but a ger doesn't yarshin his father. So Yishmael was completely out of the picture. That's one answer, basically, from the Das Zakenim. The Moshe of Zakenim, another...
Because of Avram, not because of him, actually.
Because
of
Avram,
you know, turn the page.
Right.
I didn't.
The Moshe of Zakenim, which is another sefer from Balei HaTesis on Chumash, and also the Chassam Sefer in Maseches Ksubos brings the same answer in the name of his father. They say another answer. They say that when Sarah was complaining to Avram Avinu about Yishmael, you know, bothering Yitzchak and making trouble for him, so she said to him, "Ki lo yirash ben ama zayis im bini im Yitzchak." This the son of this maidservant. He shouldn't yarshin like my son with Yitzchak. And I want you to send him away. Right? And Avraham Avinu was besupik. He didn't know what to do. Should I send him away? Should I send away my wife and kid, Hagar and Yishmael? Should I send them away? You know, it's not nice to send them away like that. He didn't know, or I have to listen to, or should I listen to Sarah? So the pasuk says that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Kol asher tema arecha, Sarah tase," something like that. I think I wrote down the pasuk. "Kol asher tema arecha, Sarah." They write down the pasuk. Yeah, something like that. I don't remember exactly the lashon of the pasuk. And Hashem said, "Do whatever Sarah tells you." And Rashi even brings on that pasuk that the nevuah, the Sarah was on a higher darga of nevuah than Avram Avinu was. And Hashem said to him, "Look, Avram, listen to Sarah. She knows what she's talking about." And included in what Sarah said was Lo Yirash Ben Ha'amaz Zayisim Bnei Yemitzak, that he's not going to get Yerusha. So there's a special nevuah that Sarah said that Yishmael should not get Yerusha, and that's why Avraham Avinu was able to switch it from splitting it between Yishmael and Yitzchak to only Yitzchak. That's the Chassam Sefer and Moshe of Zakenim. They both said the same idea. There's a special nevuah.
Because of nevuah.
Special nevuah from Sarah.
Nothing to do with the
heirs. No, a different answer. I'm thinking that was one answer. This is a different answer. Yeah. Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, another one of the Rishonim in Chumash, is a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. That basically places him in the same time period as the Rosh. So he says this answer, that the Gemara says, why is it usher to switch your Yerusha from one son to another son? The Gemara, I feel like he brought Bishl, brought Tov. So the Gemara says, because you don't know which one is going to end up being good and which one's going to end up being bad. It seems right now like this one's good and this one's bad. So before a guy dies, it's like, okay, I'm going to give everything to the good son, right? And then the moment he dies, maybe the good son's going to go off the derech and the bad son's going to come back. So you don't know what's going to be. So better just leave it the way the Torah said it. Don't play around with it.
Except if you're Avraham Avinu.
If you're Avraham Avinu.
If you're Yaakov Avinu.
Oh. But if you're Avraham Avinu, and you had a special note from Hashem, that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Ki bi Yitzchak yikarei lecha zara," and you know that Yitzchak's going to follow your path, and you know that Yishmael's not following your path, so give it all to Yitzchak, why not? The Gemara was only talking about a regular guy, wasn't talking about someone who didn't know what's going to happen. Who did know what's going to happen. So that's the teretz of the Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. Rav Yosef Engel also says this teretz in Beis HaOitzer. Different teretzim. Another question is, what about the Bnei Keturah? So it could be that once this already happened, before the Bnei Keturah existed, so then they already lost out everything.
Where is this concept of special nevuah? Okay, we're seeing that special nevuah, but Avraham Avinu is always talking to Hashem. What's more special than that?
Which what are you asking? Yeah,
The two answers about the special nevuah that Sarah had,
yeah,
and then this one that Aaron had. Where does it come from? What is a special nevuah? Nevuah is nevuah. If Hashem opens your mind.
We're just using these ideas to prove that there was a certain nevuah that said that this is what should be. Not. I don't know why I said special nevuah. A nevuah. Call them nevuah.
Because
I'm just proving to you that there was a nevuah, either because of what Sarah said, or because it said v'yitzchak yikar l'chazar. So there was a nevuah involved in here. The last two terutzim are basically saying, well, the other terutzim are that he didn't give as a yerusha, he gave it as a matana before he died, as a present. So that when he died, he didn't own anything.
But the Gemara in Besuvos says that if you want, if you have a son that's a rasha and a son that's a tov,
right?
So
you can get around this problem by doing it.
But you can give it over to the tov with on the imet ten high that he will take.
That he stays good.
I hear you, but he's already got all the money. He owns all
the money. But the Radal says that you can't say that that's what we're talking about over here. Because let's look at the Lashon again.
Right.
Here it says, Kosav Avram Kol Asher Lo LiYitzchak Yerusha. As a Yerusha. Not as a Matana. As a Yerusha. Right. So it says it wasn't a Matana. It was a Yerusha. But there are Mephashim that said that it was a Matana.
I mean, how come you can't say that's still called a Yerusha? Because you're giving up all of your
possessions.
Even though it's technically
as if he dies, sort of. Yeah. Yerusha is a specific term that when a guy dies, so his descendants automatically own it, right? Right. Matana is a different mechanism.
Right.
Like Yerusha, you don't need to make a kinyan on Yerusha. A matana, you have to make a kinyan. Yerusha comes on its own, mimela. But a matana, you have to pick it up or whatever, or get a shtar or whatever exactly the object is. What?
That it's not a good start.
Right. Okay. So Eliezer is walking with this document in hand that says that everything belongs to Yitzhak, and now he's going to find a shidduch for Yitzhak. From Kiryas Arba ad Choron, Mahalach Shivos Oryem. From Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron, where Avram Avinu lived, till Choron, which is in Syria, where Avram Avinu's family lived, is a journey of 17 days. If you journey 17 days, that's how long it takes to get there. But the Eved, Eliezer, reached Haran in 3 hours. He was wondering in his heart. He said, today I left Hebron, and today I arrived at Haran. Doesn't make it, what happened over here? Because it says in the Pasuk, when he was davening to Hashem by the well that he should find a good shidduch for Yitzchak, he said, "Vo'avoy hayom al el ha'oyin," and I came today to the well. He came today. He left today and he came today. That's what it's darshining over here. The Radal, I don't know why the Radal says this, but the Radal says I think it's a shtickle funny idea. He says an idea Eliezer left at noon. And it took him 3 hours to get there. Right? So look, we always play with this when we're talking about hours in the Jewish calendar. Right? Pretend like we're talking about what I call the perfect day, where the beginning of the day is at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the end of the day is at 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 to 6. Right? So that would mean that the middle of the day, midday, is exactly 12 o'clock in the Chatzos Hayom is 12 o'clock. Right? So let's say that Eliezer left Hebron at 12 o'clock midday, and it took him 3 hours, so he got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? So it says like this, that it says in the pasuk that when did he get there? So it says that Eliezer got to the well le'eis erev, le'eis tzeis hashaya vois. He got there in the evening when people are coming to go draw things from the well, in the evening. And towards le'es erev, towards the evening, mincha time, like between 3 and 6 is like the last 3 hours of the day. That's like when you dive in mincha. So that's when Eliezer got to the, that's when Eliezer got there, and he brings a zohar that says that Eliezer got to Choron mincha time. So who said that Eliezer left at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? So later on, I don't think we're gonna get this week, but later on it says that when he leaves Choron, he left at 6 hours into the day. So if he left at 12 o'clock, so Mustama, he also left at 12 o'clock on his way. If he left on his way back, so Mustama left. So the Radal, it's an interesting shtickle that the Radal says over here. It's Oysi Yudches if you want to look at it. What? So how did it happen? He left and he got there in 3 hours. It's a 17-day journey. So Rabbi Abahu Omar, Rabbi Bow says, Rotza Kadosh Baruch Hu Ligmal Chesed im Yitzchak. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do Gemilas Chesed with Yitzchak. He wanted to do Chesed to Yitzchak to help him get his Shidduch faster. I guess that's the word. It doesn't say it, but I think that's what, to get his Shidduch faster. V'sholach Malach Lefnei Eliezer Eben Avram. He sent a Malach in front of Eliezer, the servant of Avram. V'nikpetz lo yaderech, and the Malach did kfitzas aderech for him. Ubo b'sholish ha'eved l'charen. And because of that, the Eved Eliezer was able to get the Charen in 3 hours instead of 17 days. But
that's a chesed for Yitzhak. Eliezer.
That's the way I understand it, yeah.
Or Abraham, either.
Right. Because
you could also say it's a chesed for Abraham, that his son, that his progeny would be
getting, bringing on to the next generation.
Next generation, yeah. Quicker.
So why are we bringing down this story? So one of the reasons why we bring it down is because of this line that Hashem wanted to give chesed to Yitzchak. But we'll see there's other nekudas that we wanted to bring up. The Radal adds the word hakol over here. The hakol tzafoi lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is foreseen by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem sees everything and He prepares it to make sure that everything is going to work out good. What time is it, by the way? So that means we could just go forever. We don't have a watch. Okay. So everything was foreseen in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he made sure everything was going to work out. Why? Bas Milochim, a daughter of kings, Shlo Yatzosav Miyameha Lishoiv Mayim, who in her entire life never went out to go draw water from the well, Yatzosav Lishoiv Mayim Ba'isa Hasha. She went out to go draw water from the well exactly at that moment when Eliezer was going out to the well to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. She was Bas Malachim. She was the daughter of kings. The Marzu says that her father Bisuel has lots of slaves. He was a rich man. He had lots of slaves. It happened to be that today his slaves were all busy or whatever, and it happened to be that he sent his daughter out to get the water instead of sending out the slaves. He had all this part of because of Eliezer's davening. Eliezer davened that he should get a good shidduch for Yitzchak over there by the well, so it's going to come out that it's going to happen over there, mamish, by the well. But before we get to that, there's an interesting discussion over here. Bas Melachim.
That's why maybe people have this strange thing of wishing wells.
A wishing well?
Yeah, the thing of the wishing
well. Yeah. You put some money in it.
Whatever they go and do, yeah, they control some money inside.
You know, the yeshiva shiti, you go to the wishing well, you collect all the money.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Wishing well. I think someone told me that once, actually, that that's where it comes from Eliezer. I think someone told me that. What does this mean? That Bas Melachim, Rivka was Bas Melachim. She was the daughter of kings. Oh, Stam, interesting. I just learned this week. I'm listening to a series of lectures on Shabbat Tzvi, Yimach Shemai. And one of his writings, Shabbat Tzvi writes that he's gonna go across a certain day, he's gonna come, whatever, and then he's gonna go across the Sambatyan and he's gonna marry Rivka, the daughter of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's 13 years old. That's what Shabbat Tzvi writes. It's a Meshuga, it's Tam interesting. Her name was Rivka, the daughter of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rivka is, our Rivka over here by Yitzchak, Lahavdil, is Bas Melachim. She's a daughter of kings. What does it mean, Bas Melachim? She's a daughter of kings. So, the Mepharshim say like this. First of all, the Sefer Yashar, it's part of the Seder Duris, says that Terach, the father of Avram and Nachor, Terach, who was her great grandfather, right, Terach was a general in the army of Nimrod. So he was like, you know, a chashav guy. Nachor, it seems, was also a very important figure because it says that Eliezer went El Ir Nachor, to the city of Nachor. Right, so Nachor was his city. I don't know what he was, the mayor or he was something. I don't know exactly what. And the next thing is the Yalkut says, the Yalkut Shemaini brings down that Besuel was the king of Aram. Besuel himself, the father of Rivka, he was the king over there in Aram. He was the king. So Bas Malachim, she was mamish, like she was from a Chashav Efem. Huh?
His son, Lavan Ha'arami. Lavan Ha'arami, maybe it's like.
No, everyone is, that's how you refer to a person from what country he's from.
That's true, but.
Lavan Ha'arami.
His Abba was the king of him.
Could be. I actually have a question on it, because when Yaakov Avinu came, now we're talking about Eliezer getting a shidduch for Yitzchak. Later on, when Yaakov Avinu comes to get a shidduch for himself, so he says to them, he says to the people at the well, he says, "Hayidatan is Lavan ben Nachor." Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor? So the Mefarshim, Lavan wasn't the son of Nachor. Lavan was the son of Besuel, who was a son of Nachor. So why did Yaakov even refer to Lavan as the son of Nachor? Why not the son of Besuel? So the Radak, it happens that it's Miyachas, the person's grandfather, not to his father.
Yeah.
You're right, it does happen a lot. And that's why I'm not really bothered by the question. What I'm going to be bothered by is the Radak's answer. The Radak says that the reason why it says Lavan ben Nachor, not Lavan ben Besuel, is because apparently Besuel died young or whatever, and no one knew who Besuel was exactly. So he called him Lavan ben Nachor because Nachor was more famous than Besuel. That's what Radak says. Now I ask the question: if Besuel was the king, you're going to tell me that nobody knew who Besuel was? He was the king. I don't know. Maybe it was only a short-lived reign. So
in English, there were sometimes ones for just a couple of years, and then they died. And I guess they're forgotten because they weren't around for so long.
What, 10 years later, no one remembered who he was. No one remembered who the previous king was. I don't know. It's not 10 years later, but okay, 50 years later.
Nothing. Yeah.
It's more than 50. Let's see. How old was Yitzchak Yaakov when he went to get a shidduch? He was in his 60s, and he was born. Okay, so 20 years after Yitzchak got married, so it's like 80 years later. Okay. It's like 80 years later. I can hear maybe people forget things.
Enough to forget. Maybe. I don't know.
I
is it enough to forget without historical...
People say the opposite. People say in the olden days, time was the opposite way. 80 years is like 5 years in terms of forgetting. I could be right. But it's interesting, the Medrash says that Yalkut Shemayni over there in Parshas Chayasara, that says that Besuel was the king. So Besuel was the king, and it said that what he would do, maybe we'll speak more about this next week, but what Besuel would do is, as the king of Aram, he made a law that any girl who gets married first has to have relations with him. Yeah? And they were plotting against him, and they said, his people said, "Look, we'll take this law. We'll go with it. But let's see what he does with his own kid. If his own kid before she gets married, he does that. So fine. So that's fair. He's doing it to everyone. If he's doing it just for his enjoyment, he's not even going to do it to his own kid. So then we're gonna kill him, and we're gonna get a different king." That's what it says in the Medrash that they did, and what ended up that. That he died before she got married, so it wasn't Nagea, right? But he was planning on doing that. That's what it says in the Medrash. Interesting idea. But Rabbi Leomi Izmir, in his Sefer Medrash Talpiyos, this gets even more interesting. Medrash Talpiyos on the word Zivug. So he brings down this Medrash and he says, "I don't understand. Why would anyone listen to such a law? Why would the people agree to it? Why would the girl agree to it? Why would her future husband agree to it? It doesn't make any sense. Why would someone do it?" So he says, how was it that Besuel was able to convince people to follow this law? He says a very important idea. He says, this is how he did it. He said, it's part of the religion. He made up a whole Avodah Zarah. This is part of the laws of this Avodah Zarah, is that the king gets to have relations with every girl before she gets married. It's part of the Avodah Zarah. And he says that we find similar weird things that they do, their fetishes that they do for their Avodah Zarah. He says we find such thing. He brings a very interesting thing from the Sefer Shevet Yehuda. There is a sefer called Shevet Yehuda from Rabbeinu Shlomo ibn Virga, but I couldn't find this there. So there's something different sefer called Shevet Yehuda. It says that there's a type of avodah zarah that what they do is like this: they have a statue of a man, a complete form of a man made out of gold. And every year they would go find a beautiful virgin and take her and have her fall on top of this man in a way that she becomes not a virgin. And then they would, from the statue or whatever, then they would take the blood and take that blood and bake it into cakes. And all the priests from the temple would eat those cakes. And they would keep the girl in the temple. And anyone who wants to have all their sins forgiven would pay a lot of money and have relations with this girl, and all their sins would be forgiven. And then he says that and every day they would offer 7 mice and 7 bats as a sacrifice to this idol. So he says that you see we find these like weird things like that are part of their avodah zarah. So he says that that's how Basil was able to convince people to do this thing that to let them have relations with every girl before they get married. That's what it says, Medrash Talpius. It's mamish, really weird. Depraved people. In Mesachus Seifrim, it also talks about Bisuel, what he was going to do with his daughter if he wouldn't have gotten killed. In Mesachus Seifrim, it says a little bit differently. It says that the rule was that every father would have relations with his daughter when she turned 3. And that Rivka was about to turn 3, and what happened was that Bisuel ended up dying beforehand, but that's every father having it with his daughter. So the Radal says that these two ideas are merumas in the name Bisuel. Either you can learn the word Bisuel as a portmanteau of Bitoy Al, his daughter not, meaning the rule was that every guy had relations with his daughter before when they turned 3, but him. By Bisuel, Bitoy, his daughter, Al, not. Because he ended up dying beforehand. Or, that's like Mesachus Seifrim. Or, the Radal says, it's being meramis to what we said from the Yalkut Shemaini, that he was the king and he had relations with every girl before she got married. Bisuel is like a lashon of Bisula. Every Bisula had to come to him first. That's what the Radal in the Haisophus Ois Ches says.
He was around when Eliezer was there?
Yes, Bisuel was around.
That's why, because they said Lavan talked
well,
in his place.
So Chazal tell us that if you look in the Pesukim, you see that Bisuel was around, and at some point it sort of stops mentioning Bisuel. So Chazal tell us that what happened was that night he was going to poison Eliezer, and the Malach came and switched the food, and he ended up eating the poison, and he died. And then Lavan was sort of, you know, the father of the household. Right, he took over. Yeah. So that's how Bisuel sort of got out of the picture. In Pirkei Avot, it doesn't bring that down, but it's a medrash elsewhere. Fine. Vahanara shulo yehoisa yodas maha ish or mahu ish kibla aleh lizdavik liyitzak. The girl Rivka, who didn't even know what is a, you can read it as maha ish, like who is the man, or the way the other Gersa, the Marzu says it, Mahu Ha'ish, what is a man? She didn't know what a man is. She's a mamish, a little girl. She had no taivas for a man. She didn't chap what does it mean to get married, and she had no desire to do such a thing, b'chlal. She didn't even know why she would want it. She still agreed to Eliezer to go off, to go get married to Yitzhak. Mamish an ace. Why would she do such a thing? She doesn't even know what does it mean to be married. But she agreed to it. Lama. Why would Hashem not let that happen? Because Shahaisi Ru'uyalai Mime'ei Ima Mipia Gvura. Because she was fitting to marry Yitzchak from the inside her mother's stomach, from before she was even born, Mipia Gvura, from by divine decree. Shinama, it says in the Pasuk, this is a little bit tricky, what's the drush over here? Bimoznayim La'alois Hema Mehevel Yochad. The way the Radal explains the drasha is like this: B'maznayim la'alis hema mehevel. B'maznayim la'alis. A maznayim is a what's it called? A scale. So he says, B'maznayim la'alis. People try to scale. They try to measure different cheshbonos that they have about shidduchim what do I think is important and what's not so important, and they put it on a scale. He says, hey, ma may hevel. All these different things that people try to make a cheshbon and accounting of, all of that is hevel. And then he sort of repeats the word hevel again. Mehevel yachad. Mehevel, they're together. From the time that they were hevel, before they were even born, Hashem has already decided which zivugim are going to go to together. So all the cheshbonis of the maznaim, that's all hevel, because from hevel they're supposed to be together. From hevel meaning the air, when they were just air, before they were even born, they were just neshamas without a goof, they were already yachad. So Hashem already decided that she is for this girl is supposed to marry Yitzchak, so she's supposed to marry Yitzchak. Va'anu lovanu b'sul, va'amru lovanu b'sul answered, and they said, "Hayal v'yatzah adavar mepia gvura." Since this matter came from by divine decree, Hashem said it. Hashem made it happen. Ein anu yochalin la'akev. We can't stop it from happening, and we're gonna let it happen. Shemar says in the pasuk, "Va'yan lovanu b'sul." Lovanu b'sul said, "Va'yomru." The Gemara says that it says Lavan u'Besuel. Lavan is Besuel's son. Usually the father speaks before his son. It says no. Lavan, he was a hedyet kafetz berishin. Lavan was the Gemara calls an hedyet, which I like to translate as an idiot. An idiot jumps ahead and he starts speaking before it's his turn to speak. So Lavan spoke before his father. Vayomer, and they said, "May Hashem yatzal adavar." The matter came from Hashem, and we're going to let it happen. They said, "Hine Rivka l'fanacha kach v'leich." Here, Rivka is in front of you. Take her and go. Okay, so Eliezer stayed overnight over there by Besuel's house with Rivka, and we said the Medrash says that that's the night that Besuel died, and sort of Lavan became the responsible party. Hushkin babayker. Eliezer woke up in the morning. V'ra'a hamalach emeid amantin lebochutz. Eliezer wakes up the next morning and he sees there's a malach standing there. And you know, and the malach is like, "Okay, let's go. I'm waiting for you. Let's go. We're ready to go back home." Omar lahem. So Eliezer said to the family of Rivka, he said, "Al tacharu, don't delay me. Hashem hitzich darki. Hashem gave me special hatzlacha in my mission. You know, I want to keep going and finish it off already. Harehu b'chutz l'mamtin li. Look, Hashem is waiting outside for me. Hashem is waiting outside. A malach is waiting outside. Hashem sent someone waiting outside so that I can continue on my journey." V'achlu v'shosu mimishtei Rivka. They ate and they drank. They had a special party in honor of Rivka. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, v'yoichlu v'yishtu hu v'hanashim asher imay. They ate and they drank. He, Eliezer, and all the men that were with him. He came with 10 camels, or whatever. So it was the whole entourage. V'yema aleihem al tachlu reisei. He told Rivka's family, "Don't delay me. I want to go already." So before he left, ukechazan shehu imay demavarech hasakala. Like a b'chupasa, like a chazan who stands under the chuppah and gives a special bracha to the kala, a fancy bracha or whatever. Kach amdu ubirchu es Rivka. So too, they stood up and they gave a bracha to Rivka. I guess it's talking about Lavan and his mother. And her mother, what? Ukichazan. Right. Kach amdu ubirchu es Rivka. Like a chazan. Just like a chazan gets up and gives a special bracha under the chuppah for a kala.
Who's a chazan?
A chazan. Besad kedushin? Yeah, besad kedushin, whatever it exactly means. Or when they sing, I don't know, baruch haba, or whatever it exactly means. Brucha haba'a, because they talk about the kala. So whatever it means that they gave a special bracha for the kala under the chuppah, so too, over here, amdu, they got up, ubirchu es Rivka, and they gave a bracha to Rivka. And some is talking about Rivka's mother and her brother Lavan. Shemar says in the pasuk, "Vayivarchu es Rivka, vayemrula." They said to her, "At hayi le'alfei revava v'yirash tareich is shara'sainov or oivov, I don't remember. With kids, they gave her a special bracha before she was on her way out. And the Gemara dashens from this in Mesachas Ksubis that this is the source of Birkas Erusin. Now, when you before you do kedushin, you have to make a bracha. Asher kedushin says, "Soi sov etzivano ala raya yisitelano vaselano sarusa yisitelano sanusus lano," etc. The Gemara says that the source for that bracha is over here. We see that before Rivka got married, they made a bracha. Okay. I think that we will. Let's just finish this off. To that, b'sheshois b'yayim yatzah ha'evan mecharan. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue from here tomorrow, next week. Alright, Shkoyich for coming. Have a good Shabbos.